You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Kirko Chains.
Kirk Cousins and welcome to Atlanta.
I love it. I mean, with Quavo is getting involved, talking about calling Kirk Frost, ice on his chains.
I love that.
Everybody is about Kirk Cousins coming today.
We should have known this. He just got fitted for a grill. We should have seen the writing on the wall.
Should have seen that coming. That was the prelude to him signing with the Falcons.
Totally, the grill. He was telling us all along
the whole time.
Well, I think we need to open this up for people at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because we just had a brawl here on our show about whether or not the Falcons are winners or losers yesterday. UCC put them literally number one in your power rankings. Yep. That move, number one of players that changed teams over the last couple of days by way of trade or free agency, the number one move you said is Kirk Cousins. And yet, and I agree, I think when you can get a guy statistically that good individually with that team in that division, you don't have a choice. You've got to sign up for that. And they did intelligently yesterday. And yet Pat and Nuno and our entire... Well, I want to put this on Javonte. Those two say they're the big losers yesterday. I don't see how... This guy has a 270 to 110 touchdown to interception ratio. Last year in the games he played, 8 of them before getting hurt, 18 touchdowns, 5 picks. This guy is going to throw basically 3 times more touchdowns and interceptions. And yes, he's coming off of an injury. Yes, he's in his 30s. But what did you want? You want them to sign to trade for Justin Fields, who literally nobody wants, and the league is telling you is not a starter? This is a no-brainer.
You also said 18 touchdown passes for Kirk Cousins in 8 games before he got injured. The Falcons, as a team for the entire season, 17 touchdown passes.
Wow.
How is this not a clear-cut upgrade? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's
here?
The part of this that doesn't make any sense when you talk about Pat's position relative to the move, right? I mean, if you look at last year in the NFL, the quarterback that gave you the best quarterback play, that team won the division. In 7 of the 8 divisions, the only one you make an argument for is the NFC North because of how good Jordan Love was late. You know what I mean? But all the other divisions, the guy that gave you the best quarterback play, that team won the division. Mm. So I Kirk Cousins gives you a chance to have the best quarterback play over the next 4 years, over the life of this contract. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, how could you balk on that? It just doesn't make any sense.
Let's go to what you just said, because you just brought up something very interesting, CeCe. This is not just next year. If you project out who's under contract situationally, what's going on, right? So let's do it 3 years, just for argument's sake, because that's what Baker has signed up for. Baker Mayfield or Kirk Cousins over the next 3 years, you're taking Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
As we sit here today, and I am not willing to write Bryce Young off. I'm not willing to do that after 1 year with a bad team around him. I don't think anybody else is yet either. But, next 3 years, who's going to be better, Bryce Young or Kirk Cousins?
I would say Kirk Cousins.
Okay. I don't know where you guys are on this. I believe we're probably looking at Derek Carr's last year with New Orleans.
Yes, no doubt.
And they are going to be in whoever Kirk Cousins is next year, New Orleans is going to try to get for that year. So maybe they're going to have a good quarterback. But as we sit here today, I can assume that Atlanta's quarterback play is going to be better than that of New Orleans for the next 3 years. Fair?
Fair.
Fair.
So what we're saying is maybe Bryce Young, maybe, for the next 3 years, while this guy is in his 36, 37, 38 seasons, it is not hard to assume that he will be the best quarterback in his division. That is not a... And by the way, if he stays in Minnesota, to be fair, I do not assume that. I assume that Jordan Love will be better.
He'd be the third best quarterback in that division.
Jordan Love will be better. Caleb Williams.
Jared Goff has been better. Caleb, you might have the worst quarterback in that division.
Yeah, so we're being fair. That's why Pat, and you know, my point on this is specific to if the guy gives you the same effort he's given you the last few years, but you apply it in that division, even with, yes, he does not have a wide receiver as good as Justin Jefferson. We all know that. There aren't wide receivers as good as Justin Jefferson. No. But in that division, apply the same play or 1% worse, you're still going to win the division every year.
Also, you're saying you're not giving up on Bryce Young and you're projecting him maybe to be better in 3 years. I can't go there because of Carolina. I don't know that they're going to put the talent around him or be able to develop him. I default to them.
You don't even know who the head coach is going to be.
Thank you. I default to them the same way I do to the Chicago Bears, and I just assume that it's not going to work out. Because of the organization.
Yeah, they're
going to
let the career get knocked out of them. That's what it feels like down there in Carolina. You can't trust what they're doing as an organization. I mean, you're talking about this guy already being on his third head coach when you consider an interim tag after they fired Frank Reich. So that to me is why it made sense for the Atlanta Falcons to get aggressive and to go someplace financially that no other team was willing to go.
CC, this is the worst QB division in the league by a significant amount when you factor in today and tomorrow. There is not a division in the league that is worse than this division in terms of QB play. Think about it. The AFC South was terrible for a long period of time. The today part. Two guys. The today part is Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud. The tomorrow, you have four potentials. One is way lower than the rest, but four.
Yeah, you got Anthony Richardson, top five pick, and then you got Will Levis. Like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Like, this is the worst division in football by a significant amount in terms of the quarterback play. And what they said is, we are going to strike now and guarantee ourselves the best quarterback play in this division. If they were to go out there and get Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield is better than Justin Fields. They do not have, and maybe Derek Carr too.
Well, that's the thing. I'm just sitting around looking at the landscape of the NFL. Every single division has a quarterback that you could argue is a top 10 player at the position, except for the NFC South. Mm. Every single division, just go through it. The NFC East, I mean, Dak Prescott made all pro.
Yeah.
Look at the NFC North, Jordan Love. Look at the NFC West, Brock Purdy. I mean, people might argue Matt Stafford, AFC West. Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, AFC South, CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, AFC North, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, AFC East, Josh Allen. Every single division has arguably a top 10 quarterback, except the NFC South. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you get aggressive if you're the Atlanta Falcons? That's why the odds change so significantly. That's why they go from 50-1 to 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's why they go from 18-1 to 12-1 to win the NFC South. Like, that's the reason why. Like, that is the reason why. It's because they know that the Atlanta Falcons will have the best quarterback play of any of those four teams. And that is the ticket into the postseason in pretty much every single year.
Derek in Oklahoma listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Derek?
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to weigh in on Pat's ridiculous take. Now, he says some of the most outlandish stuff I've ever seen, but this morning it just takes the cake. Because 90s basketball, I'm convinced he hasn't watched 90s basketball because The Last Dance was only a snippet of the greatest basketball player that we've ever seen in Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So that's point number one. So he really hasn't watched The Last Dance, and you can't consider that 90s basketball and calling that an entire game. And the second part is on Kirk Cousins. Why do we tend to forget that Kirk Cousins ran the gauntlet of being franchise tagged twice. He could have got hurt and he could have got nothing. He has earned his money. Like, why do we still tie production to players' salaries, especially in Kirk Cousins' case, when he ran the gauntlet and didn't get hurt, which was fortunate on his part when he got franchise tagged twice. So we need to ease up on player salary. It's Arthur Blank's problem that he wants to pay him money.
Well, Derek, that's all I got to say. Derek, thanks. Derek, we appreciate the phone call. I don't think anybody is arguing against Kirk Cousins getting the bag. We're just wondering, can he be worth the money in Atlanta? And I guess based on the division that he's going to play in, the answer is yes.
Easily.
Because he gives you the best quarterback in the division. And based on everything else that they have on that roster, a really good offensive line, a defense that's trending toward being a top 10 unit, a lot of really good skill position players. Yeah, I would think that it would work out. The other understated aspect of the Kirk Cousins acquisition is that he's familiar with the scheme that new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson is going to run. So Zach Robinson is off at a Sean McVay tree. He was there as an assistant since 2019 with the LA Rams. Kirk Cousins, when he was in Washington, the McVay offense, which is the Shanahan offense. So it all makes sense in terms of the overall fit.
I get it. But, like, why are we putting a qualifier on, he's the best guy in that division? Like, We don't do this for any other quarterback. Like, we destroyed Dak for the fact that he has made the playoffs how many times and hasn't been successful. We kill him for that. But Dak has been a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins in his career. Like, we do that for and barely, but we do that, like, we do it for Tua, right? The fact that, yes, they're going to pay him $50 million, and we're like, he's not worth it. But, like, for Kirk Cousins, who has gamed the system, props to him. He's a great businessman. The people should actually, you know, teach classes on what he's done. But it's like, oh, well, he's the best guy on that division. Isn't the goal to win a title? And I'm asking, and that's the thing is, are they – any close? Are they a Super Bowl contender with Kirk Cousins?
Yes. How are you going to? Yes, I guess. But here's my point, though.
They actually are.
People always talk about let's go to winning a title. Well, how the hell are you going to win a title if you ain't in the playoffs? The last time the Falcons were in the playoffs was 2017. 2017. That was the last time they were in the playoffs.
Okay, and last time Kirk Cousins was in there. At home, they lost to Daniel Jones.
They were in the playoffs the last full season that Kirk Cousins was healthy.
And they lost.
Okay, but you got to – here's the thing. You can't win a championship if you're not in the playoffs. What are we talking about? Like, that's the part that is, that's all ridiculous. Like, he gives them a really good chance of being in the playoffs, better than anybody else in the division.
All right, Canty, right now, everyone, are they better than the Cowboys right now?
No.
Are they better than the Eagles right now?
I would say maybe on both of these things, actually.
Are they better than the Lions right now?
Maybe.
Are they better than the 49ers?
No.
The Rams?
Maybe.
And then the Packers?
Probably. Maybe.
And I'm keeping the Bucks out of that, but like...
I actually think your point actually confirms why Dak Prescott would not want to be the quarterback of the Cowboys.
But here's the part where I push
back. Because you're not treated the same.
But here's the part that I push back on it, though. You ain't got to have the most talented team to win a championship. No, you should know that. 2011, we were a 9-win team, and we won the whole damn thing. The best players don't always make the best team. So I get what you're saying. But when we start talking about the best quarterbacks, those guys have the most impact on a team's overall success. It's the most important position in all of team sports. And you got the best one in the division. That's what gives you a decided advantage against everybody else that you're going to be competing against.
And he's treated differently. You're right. He's probably treated differently than Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott would be treated differently if he was the quarterback in Washington, Minnesota, and then Atlanta.
Correct.
Smalls has said this since the day we started, that when you have the star on your helmet at that position, you are going to be treated differently. So maybe there's not a decided advantage, Dak Prescott versus Kirk Cousins. It's why being the Cowboys quarterback is a blessing and a curse. Kirk Cousins can kind of fly under the radar in some cases, and us support every which way, and we get excited. By the way, to the Dak Prescott point, if Dak Prescott to the Saints next year, there you go. What are we going to say? We're going to say the Saints made a hell of a move and they just got the best quarterback in the division. It's the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you on that one. I just look at the division, and that's such a big part of my evaluation with the Atlanta Falcons.
1,000%.
Like, think about it. When we're comparing to all the other divisions in the NFC, like to me, the gap between 1 and 2 is more dramatic in the NFC South than it is in the NFC East and the NFC North. I mean, and depending on how you feel about the L.A. Rams, it could be the case in the NFC West. So, I mean, just based on that alone, how could you not feel good about the Kirk Cousins signing?
No quarterback in the NFC South is projected to rank top 15 in QBR. Kirk Cousins was 7th last year in 8 games in total QBR. He's by far and away the best quarterback in that division.
Are we sure that he's not better than Dak, by the way? And I love Dak.
Dak was just an all-pro. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Well, he was
injured. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
But Kirk Cousins is a great – no, sorry, I don't want to say great. So Kirk Cousins has had great stats in his career. He's a very good quarterback that has been a top 10 quarterback on teams that are not the Dallas Cowboys, which means we don't pay attention to him as much.
And he's had one playoff win?
Yes.
Dak has twice as many.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Saquon Barkley is a Philadelphia Eagle, and Giants fans are going crazy. The battle between Giants running backs Tiki Barker? I just combined Barber and Barkley. Tiki Barber and Saquon Barkley. Tiki saying that, Saquon, tongue-in-cheek, you're dead to me. And then Saquon coming back at him saying, you've been a hater since you got to New York, and all the dead-to-me talk, don't smile in my face when you see me. I think a lot of Giants fans seemingly feel similarly to Tiki in that, okay, you're a Giant, you're supposed to be a Giant, you shouldn't go to the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Commanders, which is utterly absurd because it's 2024, and I would like people to apply that same logic to themselves. When your employer says to you they're uninterested in your returning at your market value price, are you not going to go somewhere else then?
You know, if they're that upset that he's going to Philadelphia, they should be mad at the front office. They should be mad at Joe Shane. Like, if you really think that he should be a Giant, then they had every opportunity to retain him and pay him, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, the guy went to a competitor that was willing to pay more money. End of story.
Misdirected anger.
It's not as if he didn't try to make it work with the Giants. He came back on a one-year proposition when he thought about holding out from the franchise tag. They were able to come to an 11th-hour agreement on a one-year deal for 2023. The guy gave the Giants every opportunity to make this work. And they're the ones that decided those resources would be better spent elsewhere. So how can you hold that against Saquon Barkley when all he's done is been a good face for this franchise and given you something to cheer about when there really wasn't anything else on the field to speak of in the way of success for the team?
And by the way, he was very public about wanting to stay a Giant as
well. No doubt. No doubt.
So I don't know how fans could be mad at him that he made the best decision for him when the option that he wanted was not on the table.
If NFL teams figuratively want to get into the end zone, end zone being the Super Bowl, let's just say, the Eagles are like at the 15-yard line, and Saquon gives them 5 yards. Now they're at the 10. They're closer. The Giants are probably at their own 30-yard line.
Yes.
He gets you to the 35. That doesn't do anything for you.
No.
You're still punting, right? In the Eagles' case, I know that's a weird example, but it kind of makes sense.
They're in the red zone.
They're in the red zone.
Yeah, they're in the red zone.
Who can put me closer to the end zone?
Right.
If he's a 5-yard player figuratively, the Giants going from 30 to 35 means you're still punting. The Giants had a great day yesterday in bringing in defensive players, Brian Burns by way of Carolina in a trade, offensive linemen. They got better yesterday in terms of the long-term success. And the idea of loyalty in sports or in business, I understand it. Like, you can have loyalty to your employers, to people you work with. But when those people say that they no longer want to employ you, I'm not exactly sure what fans want, that you should just eliminate a section of businesses that if you are a longtime Coca-Cola employee and Coca-Cola says they don't want you working there anymore, you shouldn't work for Pepsi then? If they're interested?
That makes no sense.
That's
utterly ridiculous. I just think the Giants are moving closer to sustained success, even though it might not feel like it in 2024. And for Saquon Barkley, he puts himself in a position where people can actually see how good he is. That's the thing. Nobody's talking about it. We don't know how good Saquon Barkley is. He's played behind an awful offensive line in terms of run block win rate since he's got into the league.
I was thinking
That's the thing. Like, Saquon Barkley behind the Eagles offensive line, which was number one in run block win rate, we actually have a chance to see this guy live up to a talent that would suggest that you would be a top two pick in the NFL draft, which is what he was in 2018. So I'm excited to see what version of Saquon Barkley the Philadelphia Eagles get, and I think it has a chance to be better than what we've seen with the New York Giants over the last several seasons.
You said the Giants were bad in that department. Run block win rate, 31st last season. 31st, he goes from a team that was 31st in that category, as you said, to number one.
I was thinking about where there could be loyalty in sports, right? Like, Saquon has every right to go to the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Commanders, right? If we talk about Steph Curry. If the Warriors said to Steph Curry, we're no longer going to match your price, or Klay Thompson's actually a better example. This year, he's going to be a free agent. If he wants to go to the Lakers, he has every right to go to the Lakers if the Warriors don't want him at that price. I came up with one area that maybe we should have loyalty in sports. Coaches and rivalries. In other words, if Jim Harbaugh does not do well with the Chargers, he can't go coach Ohio State.
But is it just Ohio State, Michigan?
Yeah, and Duke, North Carolina?
Are those the only four schools that it applies?
That's the closest smalls I could get to almost loyalty in modern day sports. And even that, like if you're Michigan, would you have called, if Sharon Moore wasn't your guy, would you have called Vrabel? Why not? Right? And if you're, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody like, got a price though.
Ted DiBiase.
Everybody got a price though, dog. Time.
But you get what I'm saying. That's the closest I could come up with. Bill Parcells is the greatest coach, arguably, in Giants history, alone with Tom Coughlin. He also coached the Jets and the Cowboys and the Patriots. He only coached the Giants' rivals, right? And, like, what are you, not going to like Parcells if you're a Giant fan?
Of course not.
Right. And he literally only coached. He was turned off by non-Giants rivals.
I think in our modern sports world, after LeBron left Cleveland in such a public way in the decision, I think we've all kind of come to the conclusion that there's no loyalty in anything. No loyalty to a franchise, no loyalty to your hometown. You have to do what's best for you and your career, whether that's monetarily or in terms of going out and trying to win a championship. Because when it comes down to it, these organizations are not going to be loyal to you. So you have to maximize the time that you have in whichever league that you play in and whichever way that you can while you have the opportunity
to. Here's the thing.
And I'll never fault anybody.
You're not wrong in anything that you're saying, Smalls, but Saquon Barkley was trying to stay loyal.
Right.
He was trying to stay down with the Giants, and they basically told him they didn't want him.
Yeah,
based on the reports that were out there, the Giants didn't even try to negotiate this offseason.
See,
so how can you be mad at Saquon for going down the turnpike to the Philadelphia Eagles? Like, the dude is from the tri-state area. He probably wants to stay close to home. And, oh, by the way, they're going to pay me $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what do you want from me? There's nothing else I can do for you. The team says they don't want me. I have to go somewhere else to continue my NFL dream.
Yes.
CeCe, you just hit on the loyalty part that actually bothers me with all of this. You said the team says they don't want you. If the team didn't actually say that, I actually put that on the Giants more than Saquon. Because I think there are some players that deserve the face-to-face of, hey, you've had a great run here. We're not going to be the ones that meet that price. And we're going to own that. We're going to tell you that. And you're going to go move on. And we understand that. I don't know that the team did that. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
Well, you know why they can't do it. It's because of the PR. If it were to get out there that the New York Giants told Saquon Barkley, we don't want you, we're not going to re-sign you, then it makes you question everything that they've done in terms of the decision-making with Saquon Barkley over the last 2 years. And they don't want to open up that can of worms with the fan base, so they're not going to do that. They're gonna put it out there, the perfunctory, hey, we made a run at it, but we were just not able to come close to price. They can't come out and publicly say, we're not going to re-sign a guy that we invested the second overall pick in 2018. Mm-hmm. A draft, by the way, that featured Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, ooh, both of whom were taken after our second overall pick. We're not going to say that we're not going to give that guy a second contract because it would be embarrassing. It would be egg on our face. It'd be an admission that we messed that up. There's no way that they were ever going to come out and say that.
And we all knew that they messed it up then, right? I mean, Saquon Barkley is a great player, not second overall. Ezekiel Elliott was great for the Cowboys, not fourth overall.
It's not even that. It's just a positional value.
Right, that's
it's
what I'm saying.
It's a running back.
You can't look at
now, taking Saquon, a running back with a second overall pick.
Saquon, Zeke, Leonard Fournette. None of these high.
I don't care if it's Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, or Barry Sanders.
I agree with you.
I ain't taking him with the second overall pick.
I'm not taking him with a top five pick. Not doing it. It's ridiculous. You can't do it.
You got one guy that has won multiple MVPs, and he's 26 years old, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen might be the second or third best quarterback in the entire league.
Maybe.
But I'm just saying, those are the guys that you passed on for Saquon Barkley. A guy that you didn't give a second contract to.
Well, you still have a question at the quarterback position.
Yes, but you know what, though?
You can't make this up.
But here's the thing, Smalls. What you just said, I'd rather give the money to the quarterback than the running back because if I believe, now I may be wrong in this case with the Giants, but if I believe the quarterback can hit, I have to pay the quarterback and not the running back. It is theoretically the right thing to do. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, about a week ago, Adam Schefter gave us the heads up about Kirk Cousins. He said when he was working out and putting out that video, you don't do that if you want to come back to the team you're on. What a tip by Adam Schefter, who joins us now, as always, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. And he joins us. Adam, we know you're not surprised, obviously, about Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. Good deal for both parties, in your opinion?
Well, listen, I actually think it was trending to Atlanta the whole time. Then I thought Minnesota might jump back in this week, and they made a push to try to keep him and get it done. But ultimately, when Atlanta steps in and offers 4 years, which I think is one more year than Kirk Cousins was expecting to get in his new contract, that made it a real simple decision. Kirk Cousins has been consistently, to me, a top 10 quarterback in football, but he's been top one or two in terms of how to conduct business in the NFL. He's done a masterclass at guaranteeing his contracts, at maximizing his value, at getting huge deals. And again, when Atlanta steps up the way that it did, it's saying to Kirk Cousins, we want you so badly that we will do whatever it takes to get the deal done. And so Atlanta brings in Kirk Cousins, and it instantly makes them maybe the favorite in the NFC South, a contender in the NFC. The entire organization is uplifted, and they have been very open about the fact that quarterback has been their big priority this offseason. There was no better free agent quarterback than Kirk Cousins. The Falcons got him. It instantly lifts up their organization. And now the Vikings turn to Sam Darnold. Maybe they'll try to trade up in the draft. We'll see what they do. But you can't say that the offense in Minnesota today is as well positioned as it was when Kirk Cousins was playing quarterback for the Vikings.
Adam, I want to go back to what you said about Minnesota making a push for Kirk Cousins. How close were they, or were they ever really close in pursuing him and bringing him back?
Well, listen, it's hard to say how close it was. I think at one point last week, there were extensive conversations that took place between Kirk Cousins and the Vikings head coach, Kevin O'Connell, where I think that both sides left there feeling encouraged about what each thought and where they might proceed together. But then again, the business of football steps in, and Atlanta had its own sentimental attractions to offer to Kirk Cousins. His wife's family is from the Atlanta area. They, as a couple, have spent time in Atlanta during the offseason. So it's not like they're stepping in to some strange land. When you've got a place that has been home, where there is family, where they're offering you more years and more money than the place that you're currently playing quarterback, it makes it really a simple decision, because everybody in life wants to make decisions that are in their best interest personally and professionally. When you can marry them up the way that Kirk Cousins did here, to me, it makes it a simple decision. But the Vikings certainly were pushing over the weekend. And again, I thought the conversations that Kirk Cousins had with Kevin O'Connell might have been enough to push it along to make Minnesota be able to get the deal done. But of course, it didn't happen, and Atlanta made sure of that.
Adam, walk us through the rest of your reporting yesterday about the quarterback position. Jobs have been filled up. Who's left? What did you like, not like, in terms of the quarterback positions yesterday?
Well, obviously Kirk Cousins is the headliner. And then we see Jacoby Brissett go to New England. We see Sam Darnold go to Minnesota. We see Gardner Minshew go to the Raiders. We see Tyrod Taylor go to the Jets to back up Aaron Rodgers. A lot of quarterback movement yesterday. Still have Ryan Tannehill, Joe Flacco, Jimmy Garoppolo still on the street right now, Drew Lock. So there still are some quarterbacks. I just think all of it leads as a backdrop into the draft. It always leads into that because you've got three teams at the top of the draft: Chicago, Washington, New England, all in the quarterback market. And then there's a group of teams behind them, the Giants at 6, the Vikings at 11, the Raiders at 13, that are poised now to be on the prowl for a quarterback. Who's going to move up? Who's not going to move up? How high is this going to elevate Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy? A lot of people expect that there will be three quarterbacks that go in the top three picks, and there are people talking about J.J. McCarthy now creeping up into the top five. We'll see whether or not that happens, but clearly the movement of yesterday goes towards the draft in April, where there'll be more quarterbacks taken. Some spots filled yesterday. More will be filled at the draft in Detroit next month.
Adam, a quarterback name we haven't mentioned yet is Justin Fields. What's the latest that you can tell us about him and his market?
Well, that's now the intriguing quarterback name out there, because it reminds me a little bit of Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar Jackson becomes a free agent. Everybody's wondering, is he going to go to Washington? Is he going to go to Atlanta? Is he going to go? Where's he going? And the answer is nobody stepped up for Lamar Jackson other than the Baltimore Ravens. Well, we went into this free agent process thinking, who's going to step up for Justin Fields? Atlanta? No. Pittsburgh? No. Las Vegas? No. Every team that he's been connected to has made a different quarterback move. Now we're in the position where you begin to wonder, well, it may just be one of these curveball surprise teams that doesn't have a glaring opening, that just views Justin Fields as a great quarterback and says this is a value that we need to add. He's scheduled to make $2.7 million this year. So there are teams out there that prefer to give their money to Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold or Tyrod Taylor or whatever it may be, rather than Justin Fields. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks, the market not being as robust as Justin Fields or the Bears would hope or like. Because at the combine, the Bears had said that in a perfect world, they'd like to be able to help out Justin Fields, get him to a new home before the start of free agency. Well, free agency got underway yesterday. Free agency started and ended, in my mind, almost in one day. And now Justin Fields is still on the Bears roster. So now you just wait to see if and when there's a team that steps forward that wants to make a move on a quarterback who's a value this year, who obviously will want a long-term deal beyond after this year.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, betterhelp.com/Adam. That's who brings us Adam every single week here on Unsportsmanlike. The running back position, a lot of dollars yesterday, Adam, in that position. What did you make of all of those moves at that position yesterday?
That was one of the biggest surprises of the day to me, because we've seen time and time again in free agency that running backs just sit on the shelf. They don't really move very quickly. They are the last position often to go in free agency, and they're going at deflated prices. And yet yesterday, there were big deals going around, none bigger than the one given to Saquon Barkley with the Philadelphia Eagles. Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay on a deal with $12.5 million in guaranteed money, a low guarantee on a four-year deal that's really a year-to-year deal. Barkley is the big mover yesterday going to Philadelphia. Austin Eckler goes to Washington. Tony Pollard goes to Tennessee. Some of the running back movement yesterday, again, it was surprising to see all these running backs on the first day change teams and sign elsewhere. Now, we still have Derrick Henry out there. Obviously, he's going to want to wait for his price to come in the way he wants. But the number of running backs yesterday, including DeAndre Swift to the Bears and Devin Singletary to the Giants and Gus Edwards to the Chargers and Antonio Gibson to the Patriots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 8 running backs yesterday changed teams. 8 on the first day of free agency. So to me, that was surprising. It was surprising that there were that many on the move. It was surprising the prices that they fetched. It was surprising the demand that there was. But it's nice to see the running backs finally be valued in a way they hadn't been in other years. Now, of course, that doesn't even include the Bengals last night, moving on from Joe Mixon, releasing him, signing Zach Moss instead, the Packers cutting Aaron Jones. So there are still other running back moves that have been made, and there were more of them yesterday than I think a lot of people expected there would be.
Adam, after the flurry of activity yesterday, you're obviously monitoring every team in the NFL, but what's one team in particular you're paying specific attention to moving forward?
Well, everybody's waiting to see what the Bears do with Justin Fields. That, to me, is the biggest issue that's out there right now. I think that you look at the Miami Dolphins yesterday, lost a lot of great talent, a lot of key players. They lost Robert Hunt, who, again, was not exactly a household name before yesterday, and then goes and signs a 5-year, $100 million contract with the Carolina Panthers that includes $63 million in guaranteed money to play guard in Carolina. The Dolphins lose him. They lose their linebacker, Andrew Van Ginkle. They lose their defensive tackle, Christian Wilkins. And so there was a lot of good young talent in Miami that fled, went elsewhere, and got paid handsomely across the National Football League. It was a tough day for the Miami Dolphins yesterday. But again, free agency is a long time. There's still a lot of names out there. But now some of the prices and some of the guys inevitably start to drop from the high prices that come in right away.
All right, last thing here with Adam before he hangs up with us. And then about 20 tweets later, we'll break every story across the NFL when we're done. Names that we should be keeping an eye on today and tomorrow. Names that are still out there that you're very interested to see where they end up.
Well, I think we look at Calvin Ridley still being out there as a good receiver. Darnell Mooney, the Bears wide out. The Chiefs have kind of dipped their toe in on those things. The Patriots would love to get Calvin Ridley, but so far he hasn't been willing to take what they're offering, and we'll see how high they go to get Calvin Ridley to New England. You have Danielle Hunter, the Vikings pass rushing defensive end, generating interest. Chase Young is still out there right now. So there still are some good players. And, of course, the running backs that are out there, Derrick Henry. Aaron Jones has been connected to Minnesota. I'm told no deal done yet. We'll see if one eventually does get done. So a lot of moving parts, still some good players. But honestly, the first day of free agency almost was the end of free agency because there were that many players, significant players, that changed teams yesterday all in a 24-hour period.
Adam, thank you so much. We know it's a busy time. We do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, there is Adam Schefter. Just phenomenal work as always. He is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam Smalls. One name of one team was not mentioned there. The Dallas Cowboys, not mentioned one time in 10 minutes. We will get a former Cowboy back in here. CeCe is over at Get Up, and we will discuss what does all in mean if they're making no moves. Next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Adam Schefter just told us, basically after day one of free agency, it's over. That so much has happened that it's basically over. Hi, Dallas Cowboys. You now enter the chat when free agency is over? They say they're going all in, but doing nothing doesn't seem like all in. What is happening now, guys, with the Dallas Cowboys here?
I think the Dallas Cowboys are smart in sitting out the first wave of free agency, which is spending a lot of money for a marginal improvement. I mean, unless you're a team like the Atlanta Falcons that's going big game hunting for the best quarterback in the marketplace, the guys that they're doling out all of this cash for aren't going to help you do a whole lot of winning in terms of impacting the overall wins and losses column. Like, I mean, they're fortifying needs, deficiencies that your team already has, and that's always a good thing. But relative to the amount of money that you're going to spend, it's not necessarily going to be the best investment. So the Dallas Cowboys showing a little restraint is not a bad thing, but they are going to have to get active during this free agency cycle, probably more so than in years past, because you are in a window where you're trying to compete for a championship and you do have holes that you have to fill, particularly in the middle of your front seven on your defensive side of the ball. They've got to figure out what the hell they got going on there in order for me to take them seriously as a contender, because the one thing that they couldn't do last year is stop the run, and that makes everything worse on the defensive side of the ball.
You're right. They are exercising patience right now, but given the fact that it feels like this is kind of a, as we've dubbed it, a last dance without a first dance season for the Dallas Cowboys, I just expected them to be a little bit more aggressive. If you have holes to fill and you know it's a boom or bust season, why wouldn't you go out there in the first day of free agency and try to acquire the best possible options to fill those holes?
Well, one of those options that we had kind of toyed with as to the second wave of free agency for the Dallas Cowboys was Aaron Jones, the running back formerly of the Green Bay Packers. And Adam Schefter has just retweeted a report, so obviously I'm going off of Schefter here. He retweeted the report from Diana Rossini of The Athletic. Aaron Jones to the Vikings. Wow. Former Packers have now said Aaron Jones is dead to them.
I like the move. I mean, Aaron Jones is a good football player.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, the whole goal, the whole exercise is to bring in as many good football players as you can. And remember how well Aaron Jones played in the postseason? Why would you not want to bring some of that in your organization if you're the Minnesota Vikings? I mean, they had a dual threat running back once upon a time in Dalvin Cook, and he was highly productive for them. So getting another guy that's of that same mold makes all the sense in the world. They just got to figure out what they're doing at the quarterback spot. And that's the part that remains the biggest mystery for the Minnesota Vikings, because seemingly all of the veteran quarterback options save Justin Fields have already found new homes around the NFL.
They have a heck of a skill position group for a quarterback to want to play with. If Sam Darnold, who's now their quarterback, at least for today, is ever going to make it in this league, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, and Aaron Jones?
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. Fantasy pretty football good. Is going to like the Minnesota Vikings, theoretically, this year.
Yeah.
You know, and you could say, well, that would have been good for Kirk Cousins to play with. Well, if he was there, I don't know if they could sign Aaron Jones on a $7 million deal, and you'd rather have the quarterback than the running back, obviously, and you're going to play in a harder division, Pat Costello, than you would if you were in the NFC South. But that's a nice little group that Minnesota has had. And CeCe and I have pointed out that their defense improved yesterday. Van Ginkle and then that Jonathan Greenard.
Yeah.
From the Texans coming in. Like, Minnesota hasn't had a great offseason, obviously, because they lost their starting quarterback. But at the same time, you can understand why a quarterback would want to go there, or if they draft the right guy, how that guy could be successful there, whomever that guy is.
That's the route that I would expect them to take, is to draft and develop somebody, have the future at the quarterback position in Minnesota. But you talked about the fact that you thought that they did a quiet tank and rebuild. What do you make of them now about
Smart.
Minnesota?
I think they're actually, like, around the edges here. Smart, like, they're not going to win because they don't have a quarterback, but smart in that once they get a quarterback, they have the opportunity to win. So let's just play this
out. But when is that going to be?
Yeah.
And is that going to be close enough for Kevin O'Connell to keep his job?
Like,
he's a good coach, but we've seen good coaches get fired when they don't have good quarterback play. A la the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick and Matt Jones. Doug Peterson. What happened at the end with Carson Wentz? Like, good coaches in this league get fired when they don't have a quarterback. So, again, that becomes the biggest conversation. And what's the best proposition for the Minnesota Vikings at this point? Is it try to get a guy in the draft? Is it to go after Justin Fields? I'm not quite sure what the answer is, but they've got to do something at the quarterback spot. They can't rest on their laurels this offseason with the quarterback room that has Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall. I'm sorry, that's just not good enough.
So I think that the Minnesota Vikings, this is a fascinating discussion that we are falling into here based on this report now that Schefter just put out there per Diana Rossini initially of The Athletic. 1 year, $7 million for the former Packers running back Aaron Jones to join the Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings have a good structure. They should give a contract extension today to Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores. their head coach and defensive coordinator. And what they should say is, basically, we are going to build this thing for the future. We're not going to have a quick hook on a coach like every other team in the league seems to have. If we win 7 games this year, that's probably what we're supposed to do. We're going to draft a quarterback at either 11, or we're going to trade up and give up next year's first to get J.J. McCarthy or someone, and we're going to put him behind Sam Darnold. And we're going to get this team ready for 2 years from now when we have a chance to be really good with all the skill position players. Teams in the NFL don't operate this way anymore, but this is the way that they should operate.
If they're going to draft a quarterback, they should extend the coach so that that quarterback has stability.
Yes. Yeah, but here's the thing I don't know about. I mean, moving up for J.J. McCarthy,
well,
trading...
Pick a guy,
Here's my problem. Well, first of all, I don't think the top three guys are going to be available because all three of those teams are poised to take quarterbacks. Right, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, they're all going to be gone. Right?
Off the board.
Off the board. So you would be talking about making a move into the top 10 for J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, whoever it is. You still have the worst quarterback in the division if you make that decision. You do. So, is that the move that you want to make? Is that the timing that you want to make? I don't know. I don't know if you're investing those level of resources into that type of decision to give you the worst quarterback for the foreseeable future in the division. I just can't get on board with that. If you want to stay where you're at and take a quarterback, okay. If you want to take a quarterback in the later rounds as a draft and develop player, okay. But moving up into the top 10 to take the fourth best quarterback on the board, I don't know that does anything materially for you over the next two seasons.
So then how did they get a big-time quarterback? There's only one guy that potentially could be out there that I know of that could be a top 10 quarterback over the next couple of years, and that is a pending free agent in Dak Prescott, right? That is the only guy that I could say after this year that could be a top 10 quarterback, could be available. Because if Aaron Rodgers is available, he's not a top 10 quarterback, right? Aaron Rodgers, who knows about his future. Do you think any team around the league has called the Cowboys about Dak Prescott? You think anyone has
made
the call?
I hope they did. I hope teams have. It would be smart of them to do that.
Like, hey, I know you guys haven't figured it out. What would it take to get him? I'm just throwing that out there. Because if you don't like that plan for the Vikings, which fine, who cares? You don't like the plan. Right? Like, where are they going? Dak is the only guy I can come up with that theoretically could be available that is worthy of top 10 payment. I'm just wondering if anybody's called. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think we're going to know the answer to that question anytime soon because they ain't going to tell us that. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.